want you to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we'll read 12, 13, and 14. Three verses of scripture. We'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse 12, 13, and 14. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When you have 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and you're looking at verse 12, say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Verse 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Amen. The land needs a healing. Amen. And there is something that you can do. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, a topic for this message. Eternal promises for preceding problems. God promised us something for the problems that may come before the promises. Amen. I know we want the promises before the problem. But there are some things that's not going to come until after. The promises God has given us, sometimes they're not going to come until after the problem has already occurred. Amen?
Amen.
And we have to get used to that and know that's what God said. The book of 2 Chronicles here is basically the Chronicles of the Kings. And the Chronicles of the Kings, you'll find that they give you a history of things that happened during whatever a certain king's reign. And this particular king is probably the greatest king other than his father David and other than King Jesus. He is the greatest king that ever lived. Jesus referenced him and said that he is the wisest, right? There's never been a man like Solomon in the earth who had the wisdom and understanding that Solomon had. But even though Solomon had wisdom and understanding, guess what? Solomon had to pray.
Amen.
Even though Solomon had wisdom and understanding, Solomon still had to worship.
Amen.
That goes for some people who think that I know enough and I already got it all. Amen. Even Solomon worshiped. The Bible says that he created a place of worship. He built a center of worship. And now I couldn't understand why people who sometimes get so smart that they think that they don't have to worship God anymore, or so successful that they don't think they have to worship God anymore. And then you have the most successful man in the world at that time and the most intelligent and wisest man in the world at that time who created or built a center for worship because that was the most important part of his success.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We cannot forget that worship is the important to us. We cannot forget that we have to worship God no matter what level we're on, no matter what part of society we play a role in, no matter where we are on the social ladder or the economic ladder, we must worship the Lord.
Amen.
So Solomon is letting us see this, that you can't make it without God, even though you think you can. And the only reason why you think you can is because his grace has been sufficient and he's given you some things that you don't really deserve. So he keeps letting you go because he has hope that one day you'll look up and see that his love and his kindness was there the whole time.
Amen.
So here it is, Solomon, he has built the house of the Lord, in which God didn't allow his father David to build it because David was a bloody man. What that means is that David, all the days of his life, he fought.
Yeah.
David started fighting when he was a little boy, and he fought until the day he died.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. He was a bloody man, and so God was like, nope, David, you can't build the house of the Lord, especially, when he put Uriah on the front line, and Uriah died, Bathsheba's husband, But he said, you can't build the house of the Lord, but I tell you what you can do. You can store up.
Amen.
You can store everything up that needs to be there. You and your mighty men of valor, who had one time been broke men, who had one time been men who were just, nobody liked them. They were outcasts. Right? And David got them all together, and they became mighty men of valor. Isn't that something about who you hook up with can change your status? Isn't that something? How they were outcasts, but then when they hooked up with David, the Bible called them mighty men of valor. It's something who you hook up with that can change your status or who you are. And not only that, these men were broke, but when they hooked up with David, they became rich. And they were the men that stored up and that gave the money and all the things that was necessary for the building of the temple. Isn't that something? What are we storing up for the next generation to build with? Are we spending it all? Are we using it all? Are we not passing anything on to them? All right. And so Solomon had to build because David could not. But David was a good father. So he laid up the treasures for the next generation.
Yeah.
So when Solomon was finished building, the Bible said that Solomon did a sacrifice, and the legend of what his sacrifice was is that he sacrificed till there was blood running everywhere. In other words, he sacrificed bullocks and sheep and rams, and he was like, I want to make sure God is pleased. Yeah. And so he sacrificed until the blood was more than ankle deep running out of the place where they sacrificed. Isn't that something how he said, I want to make sure God is pleased, so we're going to keep sacrificing? All I'm saying today is, are you making sure that God is pleased? What about your sacrifice? Is your sacrifice, are you going beyond the mark? Are you pushing as hard as you can? Are you going as far as you can? Are you doing more than you could, till it's just stretching you out more than what you would have normally did if you was just laid back and lax? A lot of times we don't like to do more than what pulls us out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
So therefore, what you do is not a sacrifice.
Amen.
If it doesn't cost you, David said, I will not offer God anything that doesn't cost me something.
Amen.
How many of us offer God what's left? How many times we give him what's left over?
Amen.
I said this before, listen again. How many times we give him the extra time we got? I got extra time in between movies because I'm watching this one and that one just went off. Let me say my prayers right quick so I can watch the next movie. How many of us give him the extra dollar that we got rather than giving him what we know would be a sacrifice?
Amen.
Solomon knew that I got to sacrifice until God is pleased.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12 says, present your bodies. God is not interested in dead sacrifices now. He wants a live, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? You ought to, that's the least you can do.
Amen.
That's the least you can do is offer yourself to God.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Solomon said, let me sacrifice to God until God is pleased. Let me sacrifice until I know God is pleased. And you know, when God is pleased, you know what God does? He speaks to you.
Amen.
We're going to get to the text. Y'all still with me, right?
Well,
he speaks to you whenever he is pleased. And so we need to know that God's still speaking. There are some preachers say God ain't saying nothing. God is still saying something. If God ever stopped talking, then the world ends. If he ever stopped talking, the sun falls out of the sky. If he ever stopped talking, the earth stops spinning. If he ever stopped talking, the sea will come further than what God told it to stop and overtake. Y'all don't hear me. If he ever stopped talking, but God is still talking. Because we got purpose here. All right. He says that Solomon that night after the sacrifice, you know, and Solomon, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with all the things that we're doing. The power of God fell into place. You got to understand what happened here. The power of God fell into place to the point that the musicians couldn't play, the singers couldn't sing, the service couldn't serve. The service was just, it was the glory. It was the kabod. It was the Shekinah glory of God that fell into place, and nobody couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Their mind wasn't on what they were going to eat, like yours is. Their mind wasn't all what when I leave here. Their mind wasn't all who did something to me and I'm coming to God to tell God about it. Their mind wasn't on that. Their mind was on one thing, the sacrifice to God. And when all their mind were on one accord, then God's spirit came in and fell into place. The same as on the day of Pentecost, when everybody was in one place, on one accord, the Spirit of God began to come into place. Do I have any witnesses here? We have to get our minds on one accord. Why we are here. We are here to sacrifice. We are here to serve. We are here to lift him up. We are here to make sure we give him what belongs to him. Thank you, Lord. So he says that night he went laid down. And he says the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night, and said, I've heard your prayer. Now, you know, God, we look for God in the daytime. We look for God when things are going well. But there's a night season when God will speak to you. We you know, I know I'm in the will of God when it's day, the day is shining on me, the sun is shining, I'm good, everything going well. But what about at night when things ain't going well? We got to look for God to speak to us when things are seem to be at the darkest moment of life. But, you know, when we get to that point, the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Why does joy come in the morning? It's because God will speak to you that night. And you can face the next day with the power of God, with the word of God, and the joy of the Lord. He said that night, he said, I've heard your prayer. I know y'all bored. Let me get to it. He said, I heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. He said, all because you made it a place of sacrifice. I've chosen. When you become a sacrifice unto God, a place of sacrifice, I sacrifice in my heart because I forgive people even when they don't like me. Amen. I sacrifice in my mind because I push out all that other stuff and I take and let this mind be in me that it was in Christ Jesus. Come on and say amen. I sacrifice because I don't shut up the bowels of compassion and I love people the way I do. This becomes a sacrifice, a temple of sacrifice. And when your temple becomes a temple of sacrifice, God will choose it for himself. Amen. That one verse we pulled, that right there would have preached to somebody else in another state. But I'm in Louisiana. And they want more than that. God will choose you. Choose your temple, your body. Do you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Huh? You're not your own. You're bought with a price, and we try to do what we want. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care. I'm going to say it how I want to say it. I don't care what the consequences are. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But God said, you belong to me. You can't do what you want to do. Amen. Huh? You're bought with a price. You are not your own. Amen. And so if we want God to choose this temple or this place for his abiding, for his living, we must become sacrifices. Amen. 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 All right, I'm going to go on. I don't think we like that too much. So he said, I've chosen this place for a house of sacrifice. You know what you are? You are a place of sacrifice. That's what you are, a place. Your temple, this house is meaning the temple. It is a place of sacrifice. It is where you sacrifice your right sometimes. Sometimes you give up the right and have to suffer the wrong. Amen. But you, I mean, so what? Amen. Your reward is great. Sometimes you have to give up family, friends, and whomever else. Amen. Jesus said nobody has given up family, friends, or whatever. Nobody's given up anybody that I can't give them back 100-fold. Amen. Huh? Jesus said that, and if he said it and it's in red in your Bible, your regular King James, then that means that it's a promise. That if he said it, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Amen. So he says this. He said, I've chosen this place. First, he let him know I'm here with you. Then he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. In other words, he's saying that there may be some things that's going to happen and your blessings might stop for a minute. Now notice what he said. If I. Now we worried about whether the devil can stop our blessings. The devil can't stop your blessings because he is not a blessor. God is the blesser. And God said, if I just stop it for a minute, when he stops some things, when things are flowing out of our life, we're happy. And then when it seems like the flow gets a little hard and we don't have what we need, then we start to turn on God. We start saying, oh, I guess God don't love me. I guess he ain't in this. And God is saying, look, sometime I'll shut it up. And there's reasons why he shuts it up sometimes, because sometimes it's not right for us at the time. Sometimes we need to wait. Sometimes he said, I want you to pray more. Sometimes I need you to sacrifice. Sometimes I need to see where you are right now. So you show me if you're going to stand when I ain't blessing you. I'm trying to get you to a place to where you trust me no matter what. He said, if I shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. In other words, you praying for rain, you praying for God to do something, you praying for a move of God, you praying for something to come out of the heavens, and ain't nothing happening out of the heavens. It seemed like God done forgot. Seemed like he not hearing your prayer. But you need to know that if God shut it up, he says something. He said, if I shut up the heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to divide the land. You know what that means? That means the locusts is the ones that comes to eat up your crop. In other words, the locusts come to stop your prosperity. If you're not as prosperous this season as you was last season, if something happens and I allow it to happen, anybody know that God allows? God is the one that allowed things to happen, amen? He says, so if I allow something to happen to where it seemed unfavorable unto you, if the locusts come and eat up your crop, if they stop you from being able to cash in a return on your investment, come on and say amen. He said that don't worry. He said, or if I send pestilence among my people. Pestilence means that I send some destruction among my people, that plague or some type of death, anything that might happen to an individual or a group of people. He said, if I allow it to happen, look at this, if my people. Now, we thought God wasn't going to allow things to happen. Lord, I made that confession. Ain't nothing supposed to happen to me. Some things are going to happen. And know what? God is going to allow it. Nothing can happen in the earth without God knowing it. Amen. He knows all before it happened. He knows the end at the beginning. He knows how this thing's going to end up. And so we have to trust that he knows how this thing is going to end up. And sometimes the things that we go through are not favorable to us, but we need to trust God that he'll turn it around. Amen. Anybody know that God will turn it around? Anybody know that God will fix it? Amen. Anybody know that if it ain't all right today, that's okay. It'll be all right tomorrow. Do you know that if it ain't all right on this side in this life, it's going to be all right on the other side in the other life? And we got to keep focused that even if it ain't right over here, it's going to be all right over there. Because if you're sick over here, he said there's a tree for the healing of all the sickness. Amen. For the healing of the land. Do I have any witnesses here? He said you don't have to walk. He'll give you a new set of wings. Amen. That you'll be able to be mobile if you can't do it on this side. I wish I had somebody here. There won't be any worry on that side. But we have to trust him. Anybody trusted him? Job trusted God. Job said, I want to hear nobody else. I just need to hear God. Amen. And sometimes that's what you need to do. Say, I don't need to hear all that other stuff. Amen. I just need to hear God. I need to hear what thus said the Lord. Now, God gave us these promises because he know these problems will precede the promises. But he says, look, if my people, now the first thing we got to understand is that we have to be personable with God. He said, my people, you don't call people your people if you don't hang out with them. Come on. So we need to spend our time with God. So if you're his people, it is important for you to spend time with the Lord. And I ain't talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about, do you have a devotional time at your own house? Do you have a prayer time at your own house? Do you have a prayer closet? Come on and say amen. And you know what? I heard a young man preach this. He said, the church in the closet. But I want to say the church come out the closet. Amen. The church comes out the closet to show that God can do whatever he said he can do. Amen. He says, look, he said, my people which are called by my name. So we got to be personal with God. Yeah. We got to be called by his name. You know, if you hang around people so long, for example, let me give you an example. Brother Jones came up here, and he came with Brother Herman and them. And so when they was leaving, he said, I ain't going nowhere. They said, oh, you Martha on Holden now, huh? they gave you that name because he affiliated and hung around with us. Amen. He said he wasn't going to leave Pastor Holden, right? Okay. And that's cool. But And they called him by my name because he didn't want to leave. He ain't going to. That is. But the example I'm trying to make here is because of his dedication to the ministry. Lord have mercy. They called him by my name. All right? So what I'm saying is if you're dedicated to God, they'll call you by his name. Even if they're making fun of you, oh, that's that holy roller, that's that Christian, that's that Bible thumper, that's that, you know, even if they have to try to say it in a derogatory way, you're still being called by his name. He said, if my people, which are called by, anybody ever try to say something about you, anybody said anything about you religiously because you always bring religious stuff, you believe what you believe, and you let them know what you believe, and every time something come up, they try to throw it at you, they try to use it against you, that's all right, let them use it, don't get mad with them, you ought to just smile and smirk and just be happy about it, because the reason why they're doing it is because who you affiliate with, the reason why they're doing it is because who you spend the most time with. The reason why they're doing it is because they can smell God on you. Preach. You ever, Lord have mercy here, you ever hug somebody and they had on some cologne or some perfume and you know, when you hugged them, you walked away and you smelled like them? That means you've been up close and personal with them, right? And so what I'm trying to say is that you need to smell like God. You need, when the devil come your way, he need to smell God on you so he'll know that you are affiliated with God, that I've been personal with him. I've been up close with him. And so you can't touch. I wish I had somebody. He'll think twice about messing with you because he know you've been with God. I got to be personal. Amen. That's why every tub has to sit on his own bottom. That's what my mama used to tell me. But what she was saying, that you got to go to God for yourself. You got judgment for yourself. If you're going to believe in God, you have to go and believe based on what you know, not just on what I said. You got to know him for yourself. You got to know him as a personal Lord and Savior. Come on and say amen. Then you get to know him as a healer. You get to know him as a deliverer. You get to know him as a brother. You get to know him as a mother and a father. You get to know him as God. I wish I had somebody. When you get to know him and he's personal, you get to know everything about it. You get to know all kind of things that you didn't know at first. You see, a lot of people don't know God too well because all they think about God is that God is a judge, that God is waiting around the corner. God gonna judge them. Somebody, you know, you need to do a revival and tell them how hell or high water, that is hell or heaven. You got to choose. And you know what? That's true. You do have to choose, but I need to tell you more about heaven than I need to tell you about hell, because if I tell you more about heaven, maybe you'd really like it. I don't want to scare you into believing in God. I want you to love God enough that you believe in God. Because if I scare you into believing, come on and say amen, then guess what? You ain't going to believe as soon as you realize that I did this and ain't nothing happened. So I'll do a little bit more. And you go right back to what you used to do. And so now you ain't scared anymore because God is gracious and they didn't know that. But if I tell you that God loves you so much that you ain't got to live like a peasant, then you know what? You start to think about of the goodness of Jesus and what he can do for you. And you can look at me as an example and say, when I see what God is doing in you, then I know there is a God. I wish I had somebody. Anybody want to show people what God is doing? Anybody want people to see Christ in you, the hope of glory? I want people to see God in me. And I want them to see who I used to be. I ain't got time to keep talking about the past. I want to talk about God. We can't give up on people. We need to let them know that God is a good God and that he ain't there just to judge you. Now, he will judge when it's time. Don't get it twisted, but you need to know that God is a God of love, that God is a God of forgiveness, that God is a God that when you repent, he said, I don't remember it anymore. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm with God. I ain't looking for your past. Tell somebody, I'm with God. I don't care what you did last summer. I don't care what you did last night. I'm with God. I'm just here to serve him. I'm here to show you that God is a good God and that he'll be on your side if you can just trust in him, if you can just believe in him. Trying to get through my first point. Talking to the church. You got to be personal. Personal. Got to be called by his name. He said he leads us in the path of righteousness for Y'all, I believe y'all believe you're a Bible-believing church. Y'all said that. He'll lead you for his name. He calls you by his name. And so if you wear the name, you got some power. Listen, if I send my wife to the bank with a check, they'll let her cash it because she's my wife. Because she wear the what? If you wear the name, you walk in authority. He said, if my people which are called by my name, it's something about the name. I wear the name. Tell somebody, I wear the name. Oh, yes, I do. I wear the name. And it looks good on me. Amen. He said, shall humble themselves and pray. Look at this. He says, not only do we need to be personable, but we need to persevere. We need to humble ourselves. We need to be humble. And if we're going to be humble and persevere through all of the things, in other words, I need to let go of some stuff. I need to humble myself. And sometimes we try to go to God too proud. We can't be proud, or pride, whatever. We got to let pride come before what? Destruction comes right after you get proud, amen? And so we can't afford to be proud in nothing that we do. We can't be proud in our sin, preach. We can't be proud that we may know a little more prayer than somebody else, or a little more scripture than somebody else. Let me tell you, the scripture that you know, that if a person only know a couple of little scriptures and you know 10 of them, the scriptures that he knows is just as powerful as the 10 that you know. Because it's God's what? Word. Amen. And so he said we need to humble ourselves, and that's a problem we got in this day in the society. Men, the Bible says that they are boasters, they're headed, they're high-minded. Amen. They're proud. Amen. We got to stop being proud. And now, don't get me wrong, there's a good pride. I'm talking about the bad stuff. The good pride is that I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm glad that I serve the Lord. Amen. But there's a bad pride that when we look down the nose at other folks, when there's a bad pride when we say that I ain't changing, God, you just gonna have to accept me like I am. Oh, I ain't expect that to come out of my mouth either. We can't tell God what to accept, huh? When he said, look, Solomon sacrificed, and he sacrificed how God said to, without blemish, right? And if we come to God trying to tell him, accept me with my blemishes, and that's why God has the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus washes away. Uh-huh. See, you got to come through the blood. You can't come by your own blood. Because there's iniquity in your blood. All right. That's another lesson for another time. But look at this. He says, look, pray and seek my face. We have to pray. Jesus said man ought to always what? Pray and not faint. We must always pray, but sometimes before we pray, we do a whole bunch of other stuff. We cuss before we pray. We tear up the house before we pray. Huh? We whoop the children before we pray. We kick the cat and the dog before we pray, because we get in ourselves and we want to do all kind of stuff. But if we pray first, we can save the cat and the dog some pain. If we pray first, you ain't got to go and apologize for how you clowned and act a fool. Y'all with me here? He said that we humble ourselves, and that's the problem. We don't like to humble ourselves and pray. Amen. That is a problem. We got to humble ourselves and then pray. Because you can't come to God in any kind of way, right? And he says, pray and what? Seek my faith. We have to be persistent. We have to be diligent. We have to seek his face. And we say we're seeking his face just because we come to church. But we come to church and then some of us fall asleep. Amen. We seeking him? In my dreams, I'm meditating. No, you lying. No, you lying. You need to go to bed, quit staying up watching the TV. And, you know, get off Facebook at 3 in the morning. And you won't sleep in church. Preaching here. Some of y'all don't like that, but you know what? I don't care. Amen. He said, seek my face. The Bible says that if you come to God, you must believe that he what? Is. Lord, I like this church. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I love y'all. Amen. And so when we seek God, we must know that he's a rewarder. Amen. And I'm not seeking God just so he can reward me, but I'm seeking God because I love him. And I know he's going to reward me whether or not he does it. I'm still going to seek him. Whether or not he blessed, I'm still going to seek him. If he doesn't turn it around today, I'm still going to seek him. And so I know that he is. I know that he's God.